You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
The National Hockey League is coming to town, and we're very excited about our next guest. He is a hockey insider for Sportsnet and the NHL Network. He is Elliot Friedman, with us here on Jake and Ben. Elliot, thank you so much for a few minutes. How are you?
My pleasure, guys. Welcome to the National Hockey League.
Well, we couldn't be more excited, honestly. It's just been a party in Salt Lake, and it's all over the radio, obviously, and we've been thrilled about it for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. But that's what's amazing. That's when this all started. This hasn't been 6 months, 12 months, a year. Like, this kind of broke that, hey, this Morello stuff is not working well. He wants to buy this land, but they're not really on board in Arizona, and now it's here. Has it been that fast for the NHL, too, or do you think this is a longer process to get this team to Salt Lake City?
Well, I think it really changed last May. Last May was when Arizona was going through a referendum in Tempe to get an arena built. And leading into it, all of the news out of the hockey team was positive. We're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to get this land. And they got clobbered. They lost pretty badly. And I think that was a real smack in the face of realization to a lot of people, and especially the NHL. And they kind of had to step back and reassess. But definitely their tone changed towards the Coyotes. Not Arizona as a market. I think they're going to go back there someday. But the tone changed toward this particular organization. And it basically became, what does this mean? And, the commissioner was telling the governors that they would know early in 2024 about the future. The players were putting a lot of pressure through their leadership about this can't continue. I think there were a lot of owners who felt this couldn't continue. But, guys, there were a lot of stops and starts. You would hear a lot of rumors. Right around the All-Star break, which was the beginning of February, that something's going on here, and it would stop and start. And now with 2020 hindsight, we know this really, really heated up at the beginning of March, the first week of March. And they really wanted to get it done by yesterday and today. They wanted it done as soon as possible after Arizona's season, and they wanted to announce it before the start of the playoffs, which is tomorrow. So it was a real runaway train. But I don't think they really knew that this was the way they were going to go until the beginning of March. And I don't think they really knew that there was a good chance it was going to happen until about 2 weeks ago.
I think it's pretty savvy, Elliot. And I kind of am calling it a little bit of the lifeboat strategy that Ryan Smith took and just said, hey, we're available. We're here and we can make it happen. So let's do this thing. I thought, get the franchise here and get it in the door. Don't worry about expansion this or whatever, but just make it happen. And I think it's bold of him to be in the position to do so.
Well, they wanted Ryan Smith. Yeah. It broke about a year ago. It was a little over a year ago. I count it. Today is 388 days, actually, since Ryan Smith went for dinner with Gary Bettman after an NBA Board of Governors meeting in New York City. I think they'd met at least once before, but I think that was the time where they really nailed it down and said, I'm interested, and he wanted to be in the league. And when news started to get out that Smith had met with Bettman, there were a lot of people around the NHL who wanted him in. He's the kind of person you want in your league. He's a bright, aggressive guy. And him and his wife, Ashley, they've done, obviously Smith Entertainment Group, they know what they're doing. And I think people really, the momentum built to have them in. I think he was always going to be in the league. The thing that Ryan Smith had always said was he preferred expansion. And I had a couple of people tell me this week, like the one thing, the bonus you guys are really getting with this Coyotes team is they have a lot of really good young players. They have a lot of draft picks. They're on the way up. They were playing pretty well this year until things broke in January that they could be leaving, and they lost 14 games in a row.
And, you know, they learned from that. When things broke again last week, they had four really good performances at the end of the season and won three of those games against some good teams. But they're on the way up. And I think that also appealed to Smith. Like, I had some owners who told me they're not as certain this would have happened this quickly if it wasn't the team going in the right direction. But the clear thing was is that the NHL's best option to keep that team going was him. I don't think there was really anything else that was close in terms of having an arena built, even though they have to upgrade it, of a situation that was as ready-made, about an owner that was as enthusiastic at the price point that they paid as Ryan Smith was. He was the right guy at the right time.
So, Elliot, I want to ask you, because everything I've seen from you, everywhere I've heard, is that, yeah, the NHL wants to be in the Ryan Smith business. Is he? Yep. Is that because he's similar to other NHL owners, or is he dissimilar from other NHL owners? Like, is there a common thread through them that is missing Ryan Smith, or where he fits in?
You know, that's a great question. I would say he's dissimilar. You know, the NHL is a league where the owners tend to be very quiet. Like, there are some times, like, I'll watch, like, for example, I'll watch coverage of the NHL ownership meetings, you know, on TV or wherever. And, you know, like, the meeting ends and Jerry Jones is looking for the cameras. And Jim Irsay was running to the cameras. And I was like, boy, why can't we get that? Because in the NHL, they all run away from the cameras. And Bettman and his deputy commissioner, Bill Daly, they do a lot of the talking. And so I think, you know, the amount that he's been out there, I would say that he's probably less similar to a lot of NHL owners. And the reason I think a lot of people think that's a good thing is because I think the NHL generally tends to be a pretty conservative league. And I think I know that we would like to see some other owners be out there a bit more. Now, I can guarantee you this, Bettman doesn't want guys setting off headlines every day like a Jerry Jones would, but I think they like the fact that he's a little bit younger, he comes from a different generation of ownership, and he's obviously very smart and very successful. And as you guys know, you know, Salt Lake City, although they're going to call the team Utah, it's a really growing market, and you want to be part of that.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Hockey Insider for Sportsnet and NHL Network. Ben and I, as you can imagine, are you know, frantically trying to learn as much as we can about the Coyotes. And so I'm curious, from your standpoint, what's your take on their front office and specifically Bill Armstrong?
Well, one thing I'll tell you is that Bill looks like he could beat up a lot of the other GMs in the league. He's a big guy. He used to play. Bill, as a matter of fact, one thing you could ask him about, you will be happy you ask him about this. One, there's our junior league here, which is the number one. It's sort of like our NCAA that feeds up players to the NHL. It's called the Canadian Hockey League. The championship game is known as the Memorial Cup. And that's the championship tournament and the championship game. And when Bill was a player, he played for a team called the Oshawa Generals. He was on the same team as Eric Lindros, who's in the Hall of Fame and was a number one pick about 30 years ago. And they went to one of the longest overtime games in the history of the Memorial Cup. And he scored the winning goal. And he still lives off that. So he'll love it if you mention that. One thing about Bill Armstrong is he has a very sharp eye for talent. He's always been very good at identifying young players. He was good at that in St. Louis. He's coached before. He's very good at identifying talent, and the Coyotes have a lot of good young players and a lot of picks, and he's done a good job with that, and you guys will benefit. The head coach, Andre Tournier, he's a really good coach. He's done a very good job in very difficult circumstances. A lot of their young players have gotten better, which is what you want out of your coach. And I'm not surprised that Utah would want to bring them both and keep them and see how they develop in Utah. I'm curious to see. I've heard they may add to their front office. I'm curious to see what that's going to mean, but I think that they are potentially looking at adding. Now, the other thing you guys should know is you're in the Central Division. That's one of the toughest divisions in the league. I mean, you have three absolute powerhouses at the top of it in Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg. And two of them, Colorado and Winnipeg, are playing in the playoffs this year against each other. And Dallas is the number one team in the Western Conference. I mean, that is a tough, tough division. So it will be a challenge.
Four young players on the roster that get a lot of attention that we've heard a lot about. Logan Cooley, Clayton Keller, yep. Dylan Gunther, Josh Doan. When you're building a team and you're like hoping these guys develop, are we talking about you hope one of these guys is one of the 10 best players in the league? Do they even have that potential? Do you hope to have three top 100 players? Like, how does that work when you arrive and when these young players pay off?
Well, I think the thing is that, number one, the draft is such a crapshoot because, you know, you're drafting at 19 years old and you think you know. But, you know, I don't know what you guys were like at 19 years old. Like, at 19, I was the biggest cement head alive. And thankfully, I'm not the same person at 53 than I was at 19. But, you know, sometimes it can be a real crapshoot. And I will say this. This is a really hard league. It's not as physical as it used to be, like fighting down. But it's still a tough league. And the one thing you guys will really notice is that the regular season is not the same as the playoffs. The playoffs are a maximum 28 tough, mean, vicious games. And you can't play a full 82 like that. You will see some hard games. You're going to see some great hockey. You're going to see some great skill. But I really do think when the playoffs start, the players go to another level of what they're willing to do. So sometimes, like, it's a big adjustment. You can see players adjust faster in the regular season, and the first time they go into the playoffs, you know, you look at it and you say, holy smokes, like, this is a new level that I've never even contemplated before. I've heard a lot of players tell me that. I think that, like, Cooley, he could have been the number one pick the year he went third. He really could have. I think he has a chance and a decent chance, a better than decent chance, to be the best player in that draft. I think he's really talented. I think he's a competitive guy, and I think he has a chance to be a real star. You know, I think that Gunther, in the last couple weeks, I've been incredibly impressed. He was a high pick. I think he was ninth overall. I saw him in Vancouver last week against a really good team, have a 4-point game. I don't, like, to me, of those four players you mentioned, Cooley's got the highest ceiling, but Gunther could be a really good player. Keller, he's more of a veteran. I have a ton of respect for Clayton Keller because 2 years ago, he suffered a very serious knee injury. And I know people that when they saw him leave the ice that night and they heard what the injury was, there were people who thought he might never play again. And he was there at the start of next season, and he was an all-star that next season. He's a quiet guy. He doesn't say a lot, but he's really determined. He's older than those other guys. He's an all-star level player. He's, like I said, a quietly really determined, good player. You know, getting to... like, Ryan Smith met with the players yesterday, and I didn't speak to everyone, but I think some of those guys, because of the way this happened, they were a little bit wary. I heard he blew them away. I heard he really sent a good message. The people I communicated with came out of it with a very positive feeling. I think Keller is going to be one of the guys that Smith is going to want to say, we really need you here, because I think he's one of the real leaders of the team. Doan, he's a legacy in Arizona. His father is the greatest player in the history of the franchise. He's also made it to the NHL faster than I think a lot of people thought. He's not going to be as big of a star as a Cooley is or a Gunther is, but he's a really good player.
So Ryan Smith has been kind of tweeting out there a running tally of how many deposits have been put down for season tickets. And I saw a report like a half an hour ago, it's up to 20,000 or something crazy. And as you've covered the NHL and watched it expand and move to new markets, and we've seen successes, you know, Vegas obviously comes to mind, how successful that has been. But we've seen a couple of failures too. Is there a recipe for success you've seen with these new markets? Something that, you know, fans who really want this to succeed here can kind of take a blueprint from?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, you know, early on, there's always the curiosity of the new sport. I mean, it's not new to you guys. I mean, you know, Utah's had a good hockey history, but there will be a curiosity factor about the new team. And I have found that when you and the other thing, too, is even though you're going to be in a really tough division, you're not starting from scratch. And that will help you a bit. Like, this team is close. Like, a couple of years ago, they were not ready to try to win. Now they're getting closer to that. They're not, like, still, it's going to be a battle. Like I said, tough division, young players, but they're getting closer. That's going to help. The number one thing, though, I always really feel, guys, is, and you guys have seen this with the Jazz. You've had years where you guys have been great, and you've had years where you guys have been not great. But at the end of the day, do people leave the game feeling like they've had a good experience? I always like some of the, because you're not going to win every year. You're going to have to rebuild at times. You're going to have to change who you are at times. So the thing you have to do at that point, and I've seen this be a problem in some NHL markets, is that you have to say to people, you're going to lose. We're going to give you a good show. And look, the way Smith has talked, he's very well aware of that. I understand that the Utah Jazz have a very good program for getting young kids to play the sport. You're going to have to do the same thing with the fans for hockey. You know, make sure whether it's ball hockey or ice hockey, whatever it is, young people are invested in the sport and play. I mean, the best marketing is winning. If you're a bad team for a long time, nobody's going to care. But I think you guys are on the way up, and as long as people feel that they're getting value for their dollar, you're always going to be successful.
All right, Elliot, I'm going to ask you the dumbest question you're going to get asked today. In the NBA, you know, 25 points per game, 30 points, that's an elite score. 10 assists is an elite number. 12 rebounds, an elite number. When we're talking hockey, what are elite goal numbers? What are elite assist numbers from an individual player? What's an elite point total for an individual player that we should be watching and understand the lingo that way?
Well, first of all, I don't think that's a dumb question. I have asked a lot worse questions than that. I'll tell you that. Secondly, I would just say, look, like, you guys are new. You guys don't know everything. So nothing's a dumb question. So for a long time, the NHL went through a scoring drought. The defenses were too good, too much interference. But luckily, we've gone away from that. It's kind of like the bad boy Pistons era. They wanted that, and it created more offense in the NBA. So the magic number for goals is generally 50, okay? So Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who's Arizona-born, he scored 69 goals this year. That is the highest total in an NHL season since 1993, when two players had 76. 69 goals, if you're doing that, you're a star. But generally, we look at 50. If you score 50 goals, that's a magic number. 100 points is a magic number. People get 100 points in a season, so you're basically at, you know, 1.25 points per game. That's a great number. This year, I think we had three guys at 130 points. Connor McDavid from Edmonton, Nathan McKinnon from Colorado, and Nikita Kucherov from Tampa Bay. That's the first time we've had three players over that number, I think, in about 30 years. Clarence went away for a while, but it's coming back. The young players today, and those guys aren't young, but they're younger, they are more skilled than ever. They do more skill work than ever, and they can do things that we've never seen before. So if you get a 50-goal player, a 100-point player, those are the numbers I think a lot of people would consider really elite.
Elliot, we've got to take advantage of having you on the show with the playoffs here. Yep. Give us a breakdown. Who do we like?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm a big enough NBA fan. I broke in covering the NBA. So I'm not going to tell any Utah fans to root for a team from Colorado. I'm not going to tell any Utah fans to root for a team from Dallas. Vegas is the defending Stanley Cup champion. They're reeling going into the playoffs. They haven't looked great, and they've got three big injuries, and we'll see who shows up for game one of the playoffs. But if they're healthy, you do not discount them, even though they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, they're very deep. The best team in the NHL in the regular season were the Rangers from New York. The teams I really like are the Rangers, Carolina, the Florida Panthers, and I really like Dallas in the West. 1-20, I think they're the best team, but they've got Vegas in the first round. So I think that's going to be a huge challenge for them.
Hey, last question before we let you go. I'm just curious about the star players. We talk about guys like Connor McDavid. We saw him in the Coyotes finale. We know Bedard is the big rookie coming in, the two Connors. Is McDavid the LeBron of the NHL, and it's going to be his league for the next 5 years? Is Bedard on the rise? Like, how does that work in the NHL?
Well, it's actually funny you mentioned that. Like, our awards voting is due today at 5:00, and we make all our votes public. That's one of the things, is if you vote for the NHL awards, one of the things you have to agree in is that your vote will be made public after the awards are handed out.
And I'm going to tell you, this year, guys, we are going to get destroyed, the voters. It's the, I think it's the hardest Hart Trophy vote. Hart Trophy is the MVP of the league. It's the hardest Hart Trophy vote that we've ever had. Like, I would say the LeBron of the NHL, even though the team didn't make the playoffs this year, is Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's kind of the gold standard. He just had an incredible season at age 36, but the team just wasn't good enough, and they missed the playoffs. He's kind of the guy that everybody follows behind. And this generation of players, they all kind of grew up idolizing him. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's won 2 Olympic gold medals. He's won a World Cup, which is kind of like an international tournament that's best on best across the countries. Like, when you kind of talk about the 5 greatest players in hockey history, they talk Wayne Gretzky, they talk Mario Lemieux, they talk Gordie Howe, who played until he was 52 years old, they talk Bobby Orr, who was the greatest defenseman of all time, and they talk about Maurice Richard, who was a goal scorer for the Montreal Canadiens and one of the first great goal scorers in NHL history. Now there's talk that Crosby will break into that group, that when he retires, he will be seen as one of the top 5 or 4 of all time. And nobody came close to breaking that conversation. But I think now, when you look at the next generation, I think McDavid, because of what he can do, is kind of seen as the number one guy. He's the most dangerous, explosive player. But you guys know how it goes. You got to win. And he burns to win, and he's going to try to do it this year. They open up against LA.
He is the Hockey Insider for Sportsnet and the NHL Network. He is a huge deal. Elliot, we really appreciate you coming on the show. I think you're now tied with Steve Wojciechowski as the biggest celebrity we've had on. So we really appreciate you.
you guys got to do better than that. You know what? I'll tell you this. Like the players who are coming in, like there are some like Keller's a really quiet guy. He's a great story. Lawson Krause, like, there are some good talkers on that team. And believe me, it won't be too long till I am far eclipsed by some of the players that you're going to be dealing with.
Well, Elliot, we appreciate you and your very valuable time. So thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you so much.
No worries, guys. Have a great day and congratulations again.
Hey, thank you, Elliot. Appreciate it. The great Elliot Friedman. Again, Sportsnet and NHL Network.
2 young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.